right, you primitive screwheads. Listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry flavored soft drink from Maker's Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus. One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, find them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me what I thought is woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyway.
Sports movie?
Okay, we've got to put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this
place, man.
Go look. He's got a billion toys.
I have Amigo Isis action figure.
Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylon to bring us down a possible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, this shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
Where are the stars in this piece of shit?
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because the guy reads comics he can't...
I'll fucking take all you want. I got a Spider-Man t-shirt. I got Converse down and running off my feet.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
What's up?
How you doing?
Hello.
This is a 2014 streak. Woo. And so far as it's two episodes in a row.
We're going for the full 52 in a row.
Do you mean that's cute. Is the streak more than three? Is that like a official?
I don't know if there's an official.
You know what's really terrible that just popped into my head?
What?
You know how sometimes there's like technical definitions for so many of a thing?
Yes. So
like obviously a couple's two, a few is three, more than that is several, right? Mass shooting is more than four people.
Is more than four people?
Yeah. So I was trying to think.
So we're going for a mass shooting of episodes.
That's what I meant. That's terrible, but that's like the first thing.
When does mass shooting evolve into massacre?
I think massacre has something to do with the other side not fighting back.
No, a mass shooting and massacre is massacre shortened.
That's what mass means.
Well, I'm just asking. Maybe there's a difference.
But doesn't massacre to you kind of carry the idea that no one is shooting back? Like they have no weapons?
But so does mass shooting to me. Mass shooting is
a
guy goes into a movie
massacre shooting
and shoots a bunch of people.
I don't think you're understanding what we're saying. It's not Massachusetts.
Right, but I don't know. To me, massacre...
Is it a mass
carries,
shooting?
Yeah, to me, massacre carries more weight. Like, massacre is like more than 100.
No,
and it's not one shooter.
Because that's...
I understand.
Like, a mass shooting is one guy going into a theater and shooting five people.
And that's what it means
now. A massacre is like...
An army open fires on a small village.
But that when they that dude shot up that school, that was the school massacre, wasn't it? What was that school?
Because it was so bloody. Columbine?
No, well, that one. Newtown. The Newtown Massacre is... a massacre.
There's probably no actual difference between
I am so happy we don't have a sponsor for the beginning part of the show.
And speaking of massacre,
this week's massacre brought to you by
let's bring it back to our subject matter. The mutant massacre that took place in Marvel, that wasn't more than 100, I don't think.
No, I think it was. I think it was a lot.
It was a lot more than 100.
Oh, yeah.
Was it?
It's like everybody.
It was like every mutant except for seven.
No, hold on. The mutant massacre
you're talking about
that nonsense with Scarlet Witch.
Oh, shit. What's that called?
I'm talking about the Legacy Virus.
another massacre.
Messiah? No.
Not Messiah.
What the hell
know.
Is it called?
Holocaust?
M.
Was it,
that
was
thing.
It
M. M. Something.
Agent House M. of M?
House of M. Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Whatever it was.
I don't know.
It was a lot of fallout of House of M.
Yeah. Genosha stuff.
Whatever it was.
Oh, X-Men.
Oh, X-Men.
Let's read it at issue one.
You are unreadable still.
But I want to go back to weren't. Couple. I don't use Couple exclusively when talking about two. No. And I'm not the only person that does
that. But that's not accurate, though.
No, but I'm not the only person that
does cute. So you say they're a cute couple? There could be three of them. Who fucking knows?
Could
have an open relationship.
In more open, advanced
relationships. Yeah, exactly.
When I'm referencing...
Did you say advanced?
When I'm referencing a relationship advanced. Between people, I would say couple. But I could say, yeah, we went to a couple of conventions last year. I don't mean two. I mean...
We did...
Several.
But why wouldn't we only go to two last year.
Did you hear the word that he said after that?
Several.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you use that word?
Because I like couple.
Okay. You wouldn't say they're a nice several.
Yeah. I don't.
I'm not the only person that does this. I don't understand.
Okay. That's not a really good way to defend
yourself.
We're
7 minutes in, and
who cares?
Except for me bringing up Mutant Massacre,
that's all your fault.
Actually,
this is all Scapegoat's fault because I set a streak.
I just want to. That sentence is amazing. This is all Scapegoat's fault.
Exactly.
You're welcome, folks.
And he went to mass shooting. From streak to mass shooting. That's all I'm saying.
What's the little tiny one?
I'm sorry.
I'm distracted by the studio. OG has done some rearranging of Studio Q, and now I'm like a four-year-old. I have to look around at everything and see what's changed and so forth.
Target has a new series
of blind bag figures.
Chibi, oh, and they bought them for you, right? We talked about this.
And this is the Green Arrow.
Is there a Joker or Harley Quinn?
I believe there may be a Joker.
Oh, I want to
believe
there
was a Joker.
Where did you get yours?
I got this on the eBay for the low price of, I think, like $1.99, and that included shipping. It wasn't
really
expensive.
Oh,
yeah.
I got to get the Joker.
Yeah, so definitely you could check that out.
Is it would it be a Target exclusive?
I believe they are Target exclusives.
Oh, okay.
But if you look up Chibi,
really,
you should find it. Yeah, because I think the line is actually Justice League Chibi. I could be wrong, but look that up. Check it out.
Justice League Chibi.
Yes.
All right, I'll give it a shot.
So, yeah, where were we? Oh, episode 314.
Episode 314.
That's right. What are we calling this one now?
Saved by the Bat.
Right. Saved by the Bat.
In segment one.
We can go right into that, I guess, right? We might as well. Gotham.
Wait, I just want to point out the first thing we're mentioning is a school after we just talked about. Anyway, yeah,
this is
Gotham.
A different kind of school massacre.
Hey, listen. Joker is much younger. He is perhaps a lunatic.
All right, enough.
I'm just saying.
So tell us about Gotham.
Well, that's the primary criticism of this is like, but Joker was created when Batman was already Batman.
No, the prime criticism of this is that it's nothing like what they said it was going to be like. We all thought it was going to be some sort of procedural.
At least they're telling us now before they air it.
Of course.
Shield.
Look, the most important thing about this show.
Right.
The most important thing about this show, as far as I'm concerned, is that when it tanks, and I suspect that it will. It will have no effect on Green Arrow or on Arrow because it is a different network. That's all I care about.
I don't understand why they wouldn't launch this into continuity. Like, it makes no sense.
For the same
for
reason
me.
That NBC got Constantine. It's because Warner Brothers is not paying attention.
Marvel and continuity are two words we can't use in a sentence anymore. So
in comics.
The fact that
in comics. Marvel has nailed continuity outside of comics.
Not really.
The movies and TV series.
Not at all. What about X-Men?
Yeah,
and Fantastic Four. What about Spider-Man? Yeah. Spider-Man is Sony.
But
X-Men and Fantastic Four are Fox.
Right. They're
and everything
not,
else is
okay.
Marvel.
They're not the same company though.
They wouldn't launch.
Marvel proper.
Let's get back to
has
Constantine.
Kept continuity as close to one continuity as possible.
That's Marvel films.
But I agree with
Scapegoat on that.
But Warner Brothers then,
yeah,
is trying to keep continuity.
Well, they're not.
Yeah, they are. The
Arrow has nothing to do with Gotham. Has
nothing
to do with
Man of
Steel. Has nothing to do with any of the other movies.
But Arrow.
We don't know that.
But Arrow could have something to do with Man of Steel. It's possible because CW and Warner Brothers are.
The possibility exists. Constantine going to NBC though. That's just
Constantine on so many levels.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be part of the DC universe proper anyway.
Except that Guillermo del Toro is potentially working on a script for Justice League Dark, which involves Constantine.
Well, it won't involve Constantine.
Clearly.
Yeah. Maybe we'll get good characters in there.
Constantine is a fine character. Hellblazer was a fine book back in the day. New 52 Constantine is kind of... But back classic Hellblazer was a good book.
But that's what I mean. Maybe they sold New 52 Constantine to NBC.
Maybe. It comes down to Warner Brothers is haphazardly handing out its licenses to whoever pay.
Right.
That's what it comes down to. But the Gotham thing is completely bizarre to me.
Yeah.
Because you have Batman in this Batman-rich movie universe, right? And now you're going to give... First of all, we should say we didn't think Batman was going to be on Gotham.
No,
right?
we thought maybe there would be
a young Bruce Wayne. Remember, we talked like at the end of season one,
yeah, right,
they would introduce young Bruce Wayne. No, that's not what this is at all. Bruce Wayne is absolutely on the show. As a matter of fact, one of the quotes I read is that at the end he puts on the cape and cowl.
Yeah, no, they're saying hypothetically they could jump forward at some point,
right,
and they envision the end of the series being him,
right.
Does he become Ben Affleck?
Not if it's two different companies, I'm guessing.
Oh, yeah, I guess. I don't know.
That's the problem.
That's so fucking dumb.
But let's get back to Gotham. We thought this might be some sort of crime procedural that takes place in Gotham with villains that maybe we don't know yet that are new, maybe some familiar faces. What we come to find out is that it's all young versions of DC villain. They mentioned Riddler. They mentioned Joker. They mentioned Penguin. So, I mean, that's like the three big ones,
right?
Yeah, it's just, I can't imagine that doing well. Maybe it will. Maybe I'm wrong.
There's a huge backflap against it already, though.
Of course.
So this could be them trying to kill it.
No.
I think that if they had kept to some sort of procedural, it could have potentially been good.
Totally.
But why would you watch a police procedural in basically what is New York Chicago?
Because they would include villains in it.
Right. Because
and that's what they're doing.
Yes, but...
But not what they're doing.
But the thought was that... Or the hope was that maybe they would... Instead of making everybody just younger, which kind of falls out of all sorts of regular DC lore, they would maybe bring in some different supers, some original characters.
I don't know. Maybe I have a problem because I'm like, oh, maybe they're doing the right thing and just shitty at advertising. But I think what they're saying is they will eventually tackle those stories. Like, Penguin is not a young dude.
No.
So you can go into a young Penguin coming up in a crime family kind of situation as a season-long arc. At the same time, tackling general crime in...
I think Penguin is probably one of the few. You could also go with older versions. But see, my thought was like,
the crime families.
They would go with like original Clayface, right? Who, before he was the muddy Clayface, what was he? What was not... Right? Who was the original Clayface? Before he was the mud version of Clayface, the malleable version of Clayface. Wasn't there like a gangster version of Clayface?
Oh, I don't remember. There might have been. You're thinking of one of the animated series where they did him up like that.
Well, they did him up, right. But before he became, you know, or like
I know what you're talking about.
Characters like the Ventriloquist who don't get a lot of play, but you could make them older with a younger cat. You know what, do you understand what I'm saying?
I'm saying that I don't know if what they're saying is that's what the first season is going to be, or they're trying to say this is the possibility of the show.
All right.
And my point, if it's a regular police procedural that happens to take place in Gotham, who cares? What's the twist? Why am I not just going to watch Law and Order or fucking Chicago PD, apparently?
I'm just going to read you a quick quote.
All right.
This is all of the classic Batman characters. It follows the arc of how they all became what they were. I've read the script and it's really good. It's going to be this operatic soap that has a slightly larger than life quality. This is the Batman franchise just backing it up. It's a large tapestry of characters to service over many years. They brought us the entire franchise for a healthy license fee. So
I don't know.
This is Fox chairman Kevin Riley, by the way, the person that I'm quoting.
Oh, I trust that. I just feel like there's a lot of cool potential, but it's gonna be on Fox. And
which right away means if it doesn't make it in 7 episodes, it's going to be dead anyway. Right.
Or it'll be amazing and get canceled.
One of those two.
So I don't know. I mean, listen, we're all going to watch it anyway.
Sure.
It sounds like it's going to be either... It could be absolute fucking garbage. I just think you could do something really cool with what the possibilities are there.
I have two words for you. Scapegoat. The following...
Oh my god, what a disaster. Why are you gonna bring that up? That's such a piece of shit. It did not need a season 1 and now it has a season 2.
Exactly.
But that's what I'm saying. A piece of shit gets renewed Speaking of which, you know they're bringing 24 back?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's coming back like soon, yes. Soon.
All right, so...
the only good news about that, by the way, Yvonne Strahovski is joining it, and she's amazing.
Is amazing. And the accent, it's fantastic. God.
She's never allowed to play Australian, by the way.
Huh?
I've not seen her in one thing where she can use her actual accent.
No. I'm okay with them bringing 24 back.
It's a miniseries, so that's okay.
That's why I like it, because yeah. I was a big fan of 24. I watched it from start to finish. But towards the end, like the last two seasons, those 24 episodes got a little tedious.
Yeah, they did. Yeah,
you know?
Did.
So if they're going to condense it to, I think, is it 12 episodes or 13 episodes? They're essentially cutting it in half.
It's 12, and they're real time, but time passes between the episodes.
Right. I'm totally okay with that.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it, because that really will hopefully boil down and we'll get just the good bits of 24.
It's how desperate Fox is to have a hit.
I'm also totally okay with Yvonne Strahovski.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
She ended up being the best part of Chuck when that finally wrapped up.
That is absolutely true.
Or as it's now known, Intelligence.
Yeah, I watched that show.
Starring Sawyer.
How is that? I've heard decent things about
it. I have heard nothing but good things about it until I watched it.
And was it terrible?
And it is not good.
Wow, all right. I really wanted to watch it.
You know what? If you've seen Chuck,
yes.
You've seen it.
It is Chuck, but not funny at all.
Okay.
What else can I compare it to? Starring or the Bionic Sawyer. Man.
Wow. So it's a cross between
the
two? It
is both
two?
Of those things.
All right.
It is a secret government project in which they invest in a random guy who clearly is a little bit unhinged and not quite a soldier, but he's more than just a soldier. He's a man on the edge, and he has a chip in his head. It just makes no fucking sense. Like,
in a world.
It really... I mean, it has a lot of, you know, bullshit. I can't deal with the universe they're trying to pull you into.
Right.
Is trying to be so realistic, but none of it makes any goddamn sense.
All right.
Like, if they're done by what's called Cyber Command, which is the secret, which really exists.
Sounds like. Yeah.
Cyber Command. Why do they have guns and trained or going into buildings? That makes no sense.
No.
That absolutely, like, right there, you lost me.
You're done.
It's just not. And then they're trying to, like, make you care about this interesting plot in the beginning, and they wrap it up in the second episode. It makes no sense to me at all. So, who knows? It could get better. I'm probably going to watch more than the first two episodes, but I did watch the first two, and I can tell you I have not seen anything original in this series. I just kind of miss Sawyer and Lost.
That's it.
I will say two more TV things that I want to talk about quickly.
Yeah.
Almost Human, I'm really liking.
Yeah.
I think it's finding its stride finally.
It is. I am now caught up in Almost Human as well.
It's
you're right.
Yes, I'm all caught up. Yeah. And it found its stride nicely.
I'm
and
in
it's,
episode two.
It's you know, they're not quite shoving it down your throat.
Right.
Like, they're using it clever. Like, the solar flare episode. I thought that was a clever...
Yeah. I agree.
Thing. Mechanism. Whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, they're doing...
So. Device.
Yes, device. Thank
and
you.
Yeah, what's really... What I like about that show is a lot of shows that they used to do, hey, we're kind of in the future kind of thing, is they only invent the things necessary for the plot of that episode.
Right.
And you can tell by watching the show that they've thought some of it through.
Yes,
like
yes.
They're running down a street and you can see a guy using a specific technology that they're going to bring up next episode because they thought ahead. Like they designed a little bit of the universe more than just what they need for that plot. So, the show's pretty good. It's not bad. I have other quick TV stuff unless you have more TV
stuff.
Oh,
I just wanted to bring up a show that's not quite as good,
okay.
In my personal opinion.
Sherlock.
Which is about to get hit by an F5, by the way, the finger of God.
Okay.
S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, God.
Bill Paxton. Have you heard this? Cast for a 4-episode story arc on later this
Bill
season.
Bill Paxton?
Yeah, finger of God, man.
For what
From
purpose?
Twister?
I got it. No, I got it.
We're the only person that would... You're the only person who would quote Twister
oh,
as a Bill
on.
Paxton movie and not Aliens,
no,
which is what
on.
Everybody quotes. Game over, man. Game over.
Except that I'm saying that.
See, that would have been funnier if you left it for the end of the segment, because that would be the end of S.H.I.E.L.D. Game over, man.
Anyway, I think that S.H.I.E.L.D. is in trouble, personally. I think that if it doesn't get its act together, it's not going to survive season two. It will get a season two, but it will not survive season two.
Listen, the most recent episode that I've seen,
yeah.
Once again, interesting potential, but they're just not going to do anything with it.
Because
I think they have all the time in the world to go back to these stories and excite you, and I think they need to get their shit together.
Everybody,
and they think that they're going to get a bump every time there's a Marvel movie that's connected to it as well.
Except out of every person in the universe that should know that time is finite and fickle, Joss Whedon, who I know doesn't direct the show but still produces it, right, and oversees it, should know that he needs to get his shit out there and make it good quick because...
Before Fox cancels it.
Well, it's not Fox, but it will get yanked. Maybe he's got a little bit more hope and faith in ABC. But the big Coulson reveal was really kind of lackluster.
Bullshit.
I think there's more to it, and we haven't seen the end of it, but I think that they're dragging it out too long. I think they need to...
That's what I'm saying. I think they have time, and they don't.
That whole... He went through a lot of surgery.
Wow, really? Is that what happened to Coulson? Wow, I couldn't judge that from the fact that he clearly was mind-altered at some point, that he says the same thing whenever that topic comes
people
up.
People were still holding on to, like, part Android or Vision. Light model decoy or something along those lines.
That wouldn't have worked, though, in this universe.
And
the
end result... Well... You could have done something cybernetic with him.
Okay.
I'm not saying full on, but you could have done something. But
okay. RoboCop.
I don't know. It seemed very lackluster.
So I will ruin something for you real quick.
Do it.
You know, you were talking about you thought Centipede was part of Hydra or AIM or anything. They're not.
They're not.
They mentioned them specifically in the most recent episode.
Oh, all right.
As being part of the universe, which is kind of cool.
All right.
I don't know. It's just, it's clear that there's a little couple things that have potential and they're saving them and they need to stop saving them and just start fucking showing
start
those episodes.
Giving them to us. Well, just Bill Paxton real quick. He's going to be playing Agent John Garrett, who was first introduced by Frank Miller and Bill Sienkiewicz during the Elektra Assassin storyline.
Oh, sure.
So, I mean, it's a cool character. I just question Bill Paxton. That's all.
No, Elektra, that was really good when they adapted
that. No, not
that.
The movie.
Not the movie. The movie was terrible. Terrible. All right, what TV... You had TV stuff, you said.
I got some quick stuff. Archer's back.
Yes, and I did not see it, but it's on my DVR.
It is funny, and it is going to be a very interesting season.
And they've completely flipped format on the show. Is that correct?
It's not animated?
No, they're not a spy agency.
That would be hilarious. By the way, spoiler. Seriously? That's literally the plot of the first episode.
Yeah, but that's been known for like 3 or 4 weeks.
I didn't know that until I watched this episode.
I mean, that was in like the press.
Way to go,
that was
spoiler.
In like the preseason press release.
Was
that
it?
Was in the trailer.
Well,
listeners, would you like to call OG a dirty rotten spoiler? You can call the GVM line
at 425-920-6050
and give your opinion about how much OG is spoiling TV for you.
I would like to repoint out that I have not seen the episode yet, so I knew that.
Yeah,
based
but you,
on...
we all know that you enjoy spoilers.
No,
or don't care to have things.
He enjoys spoiling things for people. That's what
neither
he enjoys.
Of those things.
Either way. Yes, that is the change up. Because apparently the show creator just got bored.
Yes.
And was like, we're gonna fuck it up. Still funny, still really good. And they kind of have that like preview for coming this season.
Right.
You're just watching it like, I can't wait for this shit.
Yeah, it's
like it's just a fun group of characters and a really fun show to watch.
It's an amazing show.
Really good. Community's back and funny. Intelligence sucks. Almost Human is pretty good. And I'll give you this. Game of Thrones back April 6th.
Right.
Yay, whatever.
I mean, I'm excited that it's coming back.
I just
there
don't.
Was
the
trailer.
Is who gives a shit?
All right, but so...
Did you say trailer?
Yeah, he just said who gives
Let's
a shit.
Let's all go to the lobby.
I just don't
Let's
care...
Let's all go to the lobby.
...about trailers
Let's
for TV
all
shows.
Go to the lobby.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
You know, like, get I get into a trailer for a snack. Movie, but right. I don't care about trailers for TV shows. Especially this grand, oversweeping, like,
there's one,
try to mash in a bunch of shit from the whole season.
Here, the one thing that I do respect about trailers for TV, and it's probably why they're not good,
right,
is that they can't spoil everything.
Clearly, you only
which
have...
Which I'm really happy right. about, because a movie trailer, if it's a good trailer... As in, it's its own short thing.
Right.
It can ruin the entire fucking movie.
Sure.
Like, what is the point of watching the movie?
Sure.
TV trailer, for example, other shows came back. Shameless, really good. Start watching it. Came back. Girls came back. Kind of funny. And what's the fuck? True Detective.
True Detective.
Which one's
Or as
Detective?
I call it, HBO presents Hannibal.
No, it's not like that at all. The murder scene is like that, exactly.
It's a little too
True Detective
exactly like
is
that.
Woody Harrelson and
oh,
Matthew
yes,
McConaughey.
Yes. Yeah,
McConaughey,
yeah, yeah.
Who clearly filmed it right after he did North Dallas Buyers Club or whatever that movie where he lost all the weight.
All the weight.
Because he looks like a fucking rail
in
the show.
He's skinny as shit. I mean, the show has potential. But, you know, they try to show this season on. You can't fucking tell what's happening.
Psych is back also, by the way, since we're talking
right.
about shows.
Yes, I've heard
back.
That.
Psych came
good.
Back last week.
So Game of Thrones is April 6th.
Psych,
and
or as I call it, OG's Treme.
I'm not the only one that watches Psych.
Game of Thrones is April 6th.
Yes.
Hannibal is February 28th.
Mm-hmm, I think so.
House of Cards is February 14th.
Arrow is tonight.
Arrow is tonight. And Orphan Black.
Yeah, soon.
April
right?
19th.
April 19th. Huzzah to that.
Watch that shit. It's a great
Huzzah
show.
Huzzah to that. I don't know. We're like 25 minutes in. Do we want to take our first break and come back and hit some other things? All right. So during the break, we have a new game stuff this week by Coke Logic. So enjoy that.
Awesome.
And we will be back shortly.
Ahoy, ahoy. Welcome to Game Stuff. I'm your host, Coke Logic. Last year, Sony bought the online streaming service Gaikai as an answer to backwards compatibility, which is great, but people imagined it would be something further down the line. But to everyone's surprise, Sony announced PlayStation Now, an online streaming service that would bring games from PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2, and PlayStation 3 to be able to be streamed on PlayStation 4, PlayStation 3, PlayStation Vita, tablets, and TVs this summer, with a beta being held at the end of January, which you can sign up for at us.playstation.com/PlayStationNow. There are no prices yet, but there will be a subscription and rental plan. I'm signed up, and I really hope I get picked for the beta, because if the latency is low enough, this could be a very amazing thing. Streaming games from the cloud without ever having to buy physical media or download a game. Double Fine's Kickstarter game finally has a release date. The Broken Age will be released on January 28th. The game has been split into two parts, with the first part being released at the end of this month. If you are a Kickstarter backer, from what I saw on Twitch TV, you're going to be very happy. It's a very pretty point-and-click adventure game worth checking out. One less reason to buy a PS Vita. Assassin's Creed Liberation HD is no longer exclusively locked to Sony's handheld system. Assassin's Creed Liberation HD has been released on Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, and PC. You play as a female assassin in colonial times, much like Assassin's Creed 3. If you've been staring at this chapter of Assassin's Creed that you couldn't play without buying a PS Vita, well, fire up XBLA, PSN, or your PC to pick up Assassin's Creed Liberation HD, which is available now for $20. And finally, Call of Duty Ghosts is getting its first map pack DLC, Onslaught. It's four maps, one of which is a remake from Modern Warfare 2, a couple guns, and a new story for Extinction Mode. All this seems very run-of-the-mill, except for the map titled Fog, which you can turn into Michael Myers and murder people with an axe. Which is kinda interesting. Kinda. This is Coke Logic signing off for Game Stuff.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 314, Pie.
Pie. brought to you by the makers of the brand new movie, I, Frankenstein. This segment of the show, sponsored by the makers of I, Frankenstein, coming to a theater near you.
Why?
Isn't that the sponsor?
No, actually, the sponsor is Suburban Vinyl.
Oh, Suburban Vinyl.
In Beautiful.
That was bullshit. Now we got to go after them and get money from I, Frankenstein.
Beautiful. No, we don't, because I have no interest in... Does they don't have
it. Yeah, but we just plugged it now.
Ah, whatever. I'll just...
Have any money.
I'll play some crickets underneath or something. Fuck. Don't worry about it. We'll take care of it. Suburban Vinyl in beautiful Waldwick, New Jersey.
Yes.
Of course, you could check out all of the things that they have to offer over at suburbanvinyl.com.
They do. They have toys. They have I, Frankenstein merchandise.
I don't know they have that. But they do have apparel.
What?
Original.
Why artwork. Is no one getting behind I, Frankenstein but me?
Because I could give two shits about I anything most of the time days, let alone I, Frankenstein.
But it has Two-Face in it.
Yeah, and...
And does a lot of jumping.
And?
There's stuff exploding
in
it.
I'm calling it Van Helsing 2.
It's probably worse than Van Helsing. Because
that's what it looks like to me.
Which, if that's possible.
It's like Hansel and Gretel.
Yeah. Which again, I don't think it's possible to be worse than Hansel and Gretel until I, Frankenstein came out.
Except that it looks like Van Helsing. Like, it's got it the does. Same, like, terrible sepia.
They probably recycled all the effects.
Yeah, I mean, it just looks like shite.
Was it, were we talking
Suburban
about
Suburban Vinyl.
Oh, yeah, that was Suburban Vinyl.
Awesome artwork, fantastic toys, apparel,
our friend Blink. Stuff,
our friend Blinky. Of course, if you shop at suburbanvinyl.com, there is a coupon code.
It is. It is Big Kev.
And that will
get you. B-I-G space,
no space.
K-E-V.
Is that in case someone doesn't know how to spell Big
I just
Kev?
Want to make sure no, that there
no,
aren't
no
confused.
Space, though,
you know,
it probably won't work.
I got a phone call today.
No space?
No, probably not.
No space.
Oh.
I got a phone call today at my real job. They asked for... Matt Chipotle.
Chipotle.
Not,
no,
I did not know that I was a burrito, but apparently...
Hola! Matt Chipotle is not
here. Did they actually ask you
yes,
that?
Yes, Matt Chipotle. That's how they pronounced my last name today. Anyway, suburban.
Do you
final.
Like the spicy brown rice or the regular white rice?
I prefer the new pinto beans without bacon.
Good
for
to
the
know.
Vegetarian customers.
That's great.
Oh.
suburbanvinyl.com. Please check them out. Check out the store if you're
yes.
local. I know they have some upcoming shows, but I don't know that they've announced them just yet. So I don't want to.
A little Tabasco.
Right now, if you go into the store and you use the special in-store coupon code IFrankenstein, you will get a special gift from Blinky.
That's right.
A punch in the face.
It might be a punch in the face.
Surprise! I said special gift. It could be anything.
It could be anything. All right, let's move on with the show.
Yeah.
I want to quickly talk about Spider-Man. Not the movie, the comic book.
Okay.
Why?
And I want to call this the
no,
why
he
did
said,
it take
he
this
said
long?
Spider-Man, not Superior Spider-Man.
Well, kind of, sort of.
Okay.
Because to no one's surprise.
It's canceled.
No, but Amazing Spider-Man number one is coming this April.
No.
Yes.
Get the hell out of here.
So they're finally ending the superior schlock Yoda man that story has been.
Uh-huh.
And they're bringing back Peter Parker, which no one is surprised about. And they're doing it with a special number one issue.
No.
If they had real balls, they would have done Amazing Spider-Man issue 701. That would have been the real balls move. Right? Because I think Amazing ended at 700 and then
it
kicked off into Superior. No, because they wanted an opportunity to give us another number one. I don't want to talk about it other than that. No one is surprised that Peter Parker is coming back. I'm done with Doc Ock being Spider-Man.
Is he starting over
Spider-Man. No, my guess is that he's just going to
reclaim
his body.
Where's Peter Parker been?
Dead.
So Doc Ock will be dead.
So the Superior Spider-Man story.
You ever seen Ghost?
To sum it up in a nutshell, Doc Ock is dying.
Mm-hmm.
Doc Ock takes his consciousness out of his body and puts it in Peter Parker's body, puts Peter Parker's body in Doc Ock's dying body.
And Peter
eventually
dies,
sort of. Well, inside Doc Ock's body, yes, he dies. And Doc Ock has been in Peter's party playing Peter for the past 27 issues.
And no one has noticed.
Yes, people have noticed, which is what I'm guessing is going to lead to how
did like Mary Jane
reverses.
Notice? Right?
Mary Jane sort of notices. A couple of other people definitely notice.
Did he bang her?
He did not bang her. No, Doc Ock is dating. Midget is inappropriate, right? Doc Ock is dating a little person in the book.
Wait.
Spider-Man is dating a little person.
Really?
In the book, yes.
Aww.
What the fuck?
It's
is Doctor Strange.
I think they call it Marvel because we marvel at their stupidity.
I think so.
It's just an absolute ridiculous.
Speaking of Marvel stupidity, I'd like to add Daredevil to the mix.
Oh, good, because I have something for after that. Continue with Marvel stupidity.
Daredevil will end with issue 36.
Huzzah!
With the awesome creative team of Mark Waid and Sam Knee, whoever this, the worst artist ever, on a book.
You are not a fan of Mr. Knee.
Look, I'm going to just point
is
something
Knee
out
his
to
last
you.
Name?
Sam Knee
is his last
is his
name.
His last name. His first name is like...
This looks like... Wow, this Chabelo. Looks like, this
well,
looks like Silver
say,
Age art.
You always say Mark Waid and Sam Knee.
Waid and Sam Knee.
Yeah.
It's Javier Rodriguez. No, it's Chris.
Chipotle.
Chris Samney.
Chris
okay.
Chipotle.
Let me just. Can I just show you something?
Sure.
We can continue to talk about it. I want you to look at this panel right here.
Okay.
Tell me about Elektra's face in that panel.
There is no face.
That's exactly correct.
She looks like a Dick Tracy character.
That's exactly correct. This is the worst. This book is unreadable. Unreadable.
It's so bad.
But thankfully, there's good news and bad news. There's good news and bad news.
Yes.
The good news is it's ending with issue 36.
Okay.
The bad news is the following month, it's restarting with number one.
With the same creative team.
With the same creative team. And get this, they're moving Daredevil to San Francisco.
Oh, because that makes sense.
Yeah. Daredevil, the protector of Hell's Kitchen. Devil, Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah, they're relocating
San Francisco.
Obviously, because Gordon Ramsay's show is starting soon.
Well, right.
So he's moving to Hell's Kitchen.
What I was going
to
say is what I'm hoping is that Foggy decides to open up a restaurant called Hell's Kitchen and he needs a bouncer.
Yeah, that's
and hires Daredevil.
You know what?
Without a face.
I thought only the character was supposed to be blind, not the artist.
Yeah, I want to put this out there.
I have to see that again.
I have read this book.
Uh-huh.
Since I was 9 years old.
Uh-huh.
Nine.
And this
years
is the
old.
Worst.
And not only is this the worst, I'm done.
Wow.
I'm done.
Good for you.
I'm
proud
not,
of you.
I'm not starting the new Daredevil number one.
I'm proud of
you. I'm even considering writing a sternly worded letter to Marvel saying, I've been reading this book since
just
I was 9 years old.
Just don't sign a Big Kev.
Well, I don't care.
Because you know they'll throw it out if you sign a Big Kev.
Just going to sign
it. Sign
throw
it something
out anyway.
Else. Signed it no-faced Elektra.
You know who I'm going to sign it? I'm going to sign it. Who can I get in trouble?
So does Daredevil.
I'm going to sign it.
Quesada.
No, that's who it'll go to. No, I'm going to sign it Mark Texaria.
You know, in the panel directly above it,
uh-huh.
Daredevil has no nose. But or
there's
a chin.
No detail.
But panel
in the face.
Two.
No, no. That's
he's
just
got a well-defined face.
That's his stylized art. No, it isn't. He sucks a dick.
And in the panel next to No Faced Elektra is No Faced the Daredevil.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's terrible. And the story is Oh, and by the way, I'm gonna spoil this for everybody. He tells the world he's Daredevil. Oh no, go back a page. He tells the world he's Daredevil at the end, at the bottom of that page.
Is that why he has to move to San Francisco?
It. It's just done. It's done. Done. Why on earth didn't they just kill him? That's the problem I have. It would have been better if they had just killed him and been done with it. Instead, they're raping him.
I want to see now take all of their favorite comic books, but remove the faces. That's it.
That's like Garfield without Garfield.
Yeah, I am done. I am done with Daredevil. I'm trying very desperately not to pick up another book to replace Daredevil. However, in the previews this month, they're restarting Moon Knight.
Oh.
Moon Knight?
Moon Knight, yes.
Well.
If it was OG Sun saying the book, yeah. No, they're restarting Moon Knight. It looks really good. I don't remember who the creative team is off the top of my head, but it looks really good. So I'm now debating, am I going to trader waiter it or am I going to actually read it month to month? Because I really like the character of Moon Knight. So I'm debating on it, but I really don't want to pick up another Marvel book. I really, really, really don't. So I'm probably going to trade or waiter it or maybe digital it. I don't know.
Well,
something.
I should just say, aside from Amazing X-Men now, I've dropped all the X books again. So I'm back to Superior Spider-Man and a couple of the Superior books and then Amazing X-Men. And Amazing X-Men only
You're not
because...
reading Nova anymore?
Oh, I'm sorry. Nova and Guardians I'm still reading.
Right.
It's weird. I kind of...
I kind of
compartmentalize them.
I'm Guardian and Nova trades, yeah. But I'm not doing the others.
The reason I'm reading Amazing X-Men is because Nightcrawler's in it, and Nightcrawler comes back, and it's been very fun.
Uh-huh.
Of course, today, they announced the good news and the bad news.
Uh-oh.
The good news,
Nightcrawler number one.
Getting his own series come April. Totally okay with that.
Uh-huh.
You ready for the news? Ready for the bad news?
What? Mark Waid and Chris Samnee.
All right. So the half good news on this is that Todd Knock is the artist on the book.
Oh.
Love Todd Knock.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Aside from being a great guy.
Yeah.
We've met him a couple times.
Oh,
he's been on the show, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
His art is stellar.
Awesome.
You ready for the writer?
Warren Ellis is doing Moon Knight.
All right. Brace yourself.
Oh, is it Warren Ellis?
Brace yourself.
That's what I couldn't remember.
Hold on. Hold on to the table.
I'm holding the table.
Chris Claremont is going to be writing... The Nightcrawler ongoing series.
You're fucked.
It's hard. It's very. I'm gonna try. I'm gonna give it a go. I'm gonna give it a go. But I will not maintain it if the sloppy nonsense that is Chris Claremont's writing.
Well, you know what? You know the Todd Knock art is gonna.
I know.
In some ways, make up
for
some of that.
For at least a little.
Mr. Scapegoat, who is the artist on that book?
That is going to be Warren Ellis. I don't know how to pronounce any of these other people.
On which book is this?
Declan Shalvey and Jordi Belair.
Oh, so it's two nobodies from South America. Okay, good.
Well, that's kind of...
That's kind of the way they've been going, son.
It is the way they've been going.
You know, who's...
Comics is becoming baseball?
It is.
The comics artist roster is starting to look like the
Yankees.
You look
especially at Marvel. You look especially at Marvel, and it's guys... And this is... No disrespect to anybody. It's because guys with foreign, mostly Latino names that you've never heard of, who I'm sure are dying to break into comics, who they can pay dirt to.
I was going
to
say, because I don't want to knock their skills, because some of it is fine art.
Yeah, some of it is great.
Absolutely great
some
art.
Some of it's Chris Samnee.
Yeah, well.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, Samnee, not as much foreign,
no.
I don't think.
No. Another book that came out this week that I just want to mention, Batman Little Gotham number 10 is an exquisite book. It's funny. It's really, the art style is really adorable and cute, and I love it. Dustin Nguyen, Derek Fridlops, really, really knocking this out of the park. It looks every page, I'm wondering if it's true. I think it is. I think every page is painted. It looks all watercolors to me.
You missed a huge book this week. What? Is it because you're traitor waiting?
No. We're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it. Because I refuse. I refuse.
Yes.
To hop on this bandwagon with Marvel. The book is overpriced. I know they have extra things in it. I'm not going to do it. Yes, I'm going to traitor waiter it.
Okay. Miracle Man.
We're talking Miracle Man number one. And you can listen to the last 315 episodes of this program to find out the whole story behind Miracle Man. The long and short of it is Marvel Comics finally got the rights to reproduce this book. They have the rights to reproduce all of it now. Yep. They were doing the Marvel Man stuff. Now they're doing everything. They're putting little bits of the older stuff in here, along with the stuff you really want to read, which is the stuff from who was the comics company that owned it? I can't remember.
Oh, Mirage?
No.
Not Mirage.
Not Kimiko. Who the fuck was that?
It was at UK.
No, it was an American company.
Oh, was it? I can't remember who it is,
but
Gold Key.
No.
I know.
I can't remember, but whoever it was, they did. This was like their crowning achievement was getting the Alan Moore version of this book out to people. For years, the single issues have been ridiculously either hard or expensive. One of them, I think it's like issue 15, is one of the hardest comic books to even get, let alone afford.
Right.
I think it's 15. It's 14. It's one of the 13, 14, 15, somewhere in there. It's a ridiculously hard book to get. That's number one. They did trades of these. The trades sell for hundreds of dollars, which is why many people haven't read this book, but the people who have consider it one of the best comics ever written, one of the best superhero comics ever written, for sure.
Right.
And I'm very excited that other people are now going to get the opportunity to read this. It's amazing. It took forever for them to do this. They did it. But in typical fashion, Marvel is wrenching the comic reader for every nickel they can get. And I'm actually surprised that they're actually providing additional content to kind of justify the price. You remember last time?
How much is it? Is it five an issue? Six an issue?
I can't remember what the price is off the top of my head. But the point is that
I know the black and white newsprint
reprints of Marvel Man were a disgrace.
Yeah, they were.
And the fact that they're at least doing better this time around, I guess, is something to be said. I'm still waiting for the trades. Yeah, I know they're going to come.
Of course.
So I'm just going to wait for
them. Absolutely.
And the ultimate and the bigger one and the annotated, any nickel they can squeeze out of this, they're going
to
squeeze.
Let's talk about something that Marvel does continue to do right, though.
TikTok.
Films. Let's talk very quickly about Age of Ultron, and then we're going to move into Ant-Man.
Okay.
Because the Ant-Man news is pretty big.
Okay.
Age of Ultron, they announced today, I believe, that Baron Von Strucker has been cast. Thomas Kretschmann, who's in Dracula. He doesn't play Dracula, I don't think.
No, because that's, what's his name?
Yeah, but
Jonathan Rhys.
But he's on that show. He's been cast as Baron Von Strucker. So for those of you who don't remember Baron Von Strucker, member of Hydra, he's kind of got the monocle with the bionic eye.
Bald eye.
Yeah. I mean,
bald head, rather.
Yeah. My guess, I'm okay with the character, by the way. I think you have to bring Hydra back in some capacity. So I'm okay with that. It makes sense to me. Of course, I'm pretty positive Hugo Weaving had no interest in returning as Red Skull. I think he did not want to do that ever again. So this to me
is interesting to me.
Way of bringing in a high ranking official in Hydra,
right,
back into the universe. It's a good character. I'm okay with the character.
We'll see what happens.
But of course, the bigger Marvel movie news,
right?
Michael Douglas cast as Hank Pym.
Yeah, that's weird.
With Paul Rudd
confirmed as now Scott Lang, the second Ant-Man.
And there's two other rumors.
Well,
floating around, other casting choices for the movie. I don't remember
who.
For other characters, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I hadn't heard any other ones.
I will tell you in just a moment, as soon as I remember them.
What we're hearing, though, and I don't know if this is... I think it's been confirmed at this point. The beginning of the movie is going to be like 1960s Hank Pym.
Uh-huh.
It is going to transition into Hank Pym no longer becoming Ant-Man, and then transition from that into the heist movie, which is Scott Lang stealing the suit to save his daughter and becoming the second Ant-Man.
That's interesting. So it's going to be like Captain America a little, without the frozen ice.
Well, it's not going to be so much a man out of time, because Hank Pym
will
progress in the story. Who he'll be working for? Will he be working for S.H.I.E.L.D.? What will he be doing? Is this a way to, you know, how there, maybe there'll be a teaser or something somewhere along the line to introduce Hank Pym, which would be very interesting. Mm-hmm. Will he just be Hank Pym? Will he be Goliath, Giant Man?
As Michael Douglas?
Yeah.
I don't think so. Unless they're casting a younger actor to play him in the 60s, which I think is what they should do.
Or they'll just de-age him.
Yeah, that's...
A la Ian McKellen and Patrick Stewart. Look, I mean, that technology has improved, and they could do that. I'm not opposed to that if they do it right. It's interesting, though. I don't entirely hate it, only because I really did not see Paul Rudd as Hank Pym. I'm okay with Paul Rudd as Scott Lang.
I would have been fine with Hank, but with him as Hank Pym.
But Michael Douglas as Hank Pym, I think, is great. That's awesome. I'm pretty excited for that.
In 1978, I would agree with you, but
yeah, but
he's too old to be Hank Pym now.
Well, he'll be the
older Hank Pym.
He'll be an older Hank Pym.
This is going to turn out to be like a Batman Beyond situation. Scott Lang's going to have an earpiece in his ear and. You know,
but nah. If you recall, that's kind of how Scott Lang,
Batman Beyond, Terry McGinnis stole the suit.
No, I know. Batman Beyond's great. I'm a big fan.
And then eventually Bruce Wayne embraced it. Eventually, well, Hank Pym was the same.
That's what I'm saying.
When Hank Pym finds out why Scott Lang stole the Ant-Man suit, he was kind of like, well, you did good with it, blah, blah, blah. And then Scott Lang went on to become pretty important. I mean, his version of Ant-Man was part of the Avengers for a while, a couple of different team-ups. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's not like he was just a fly-by-night version of the character. So,
did you find your rumors, Scapegoat?
Yeah, it's... Michael Pena.
Oh, yes. As somebody.
Uh-huh.
As Castillo or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. As a villain, though. I think it's a villain role.
And? What was the other one?
Clifton Collin Jr.
Who's Clifton Collin Jr.?
It's a character actor that when you see him, you go, oh, that guy.
Oh, that guy. Yeah. All right. Okay.
But what is he?
There should be a whole database for, oh, that guy.
Oh, for, oh, that guy?
Yeah.
It's called IMDb.
It is called IMDb.
No, but like it just filters the guys that you know, but you don't know who they are.
Let's talk because we have a bunch of product I want to talk about tonight, too.
Do you have something else in the pile?
Do we want to talk about the Star Wars canon thing?
Oh, yeah, we have to.
Save that. When we could spend a little bit more time on it.
No, we'll spend the time on it now, son. It's important.
Okay. All right. We're 50 minutes in. That's all I'm saying.
It's way more important than us discussing
Time.
Massacre stuff at the top of the episode.
We didn't know we were getting here.
So the story group is the official name.
Yes.
Of the group of people who are now in charge
of reading every shitty novel that's ever come out
of Star Wars canon, both old and new.
Uh-huh.
So going forward and in the past.
Yes.
This is Lucasfilm/Disney's attempt at finally making some of these things official canon.
Right.
Versus this second and third tier canon that kind of has existed under the current system.
Right.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with them making some things official canon.
Sure.
I have no problem with that.
I want to give
this... Sorry, go ahead.
Before, I just want to give an official shout out to my man, Leland Chi.
Do you know Leland Chi?
He's an unknown individual.
Heaviest task ever.
No, he's been around forever.
He's been part of like this Star Wars canon thing for years and years, right?
I think they call him like the keeper of the holocron. And he's been around forever. He's been in the forums. He's like the biggest geek. And I read an article about him in like Wired magazine in 2008 or some shit.
Yeah.
About how it's like him and a FileMaker database on some MacBook Pro. That is literally all of continuity.
Is he behind,
including
like,
projects that like were barely announced. Like
is he part of Wikipedia?
That. No, Wikipedia is all fans.
Is all fan stuff.
But
okay.
he keeps the official internal, you're not allowed to read this one.
Right.
And the holocron on StarWars.com, whatever the fuck is called.
That's their
database. And he is now head of that group. He's still with them after Walt Disney's acquisition. And I think the dude gets no credit, and it's ridiculous the amount of work that this guy does. And on the side, by the way, he keeps the Indiana Jones continuity. Just for shits and giggles.
I would be surprised that franchise.
And hopefully he accidentally scratched out the most recent movie from canon.
He did.
Well, they might have
like,
Shia LaBeouf has
retired.
Stepped out of the
no
public
one gives a
eye,
shit.
The fuck,
yeah. Him, Justin Bieber, and
wait,
Justin Bieber can go fuck
themselves.
Can
we just say why he stepped out of public eye?
Because he's a plagiarizing douchebag.
Yeah, I mean, just unbelievable.
Is that a good reason? So back to the
yes.
was what was it called? The story group?
Story group.
Story group.
Story group.
I'm totally okay with this.
Yeah. If they issue a report saying what is and what isn't canon.
Well, all right, that will be the interesting. The interesting thing is, will we find out, or how will we find out,
right,
what they've discarded and what they've accepted?
Right, because that rabbit bounty hunter with the ship called the Carrot or whatever it is, that could go and I'd be okay with it, but I want to know that it's gone.
Right, right.
That kind of thing.
Like, I mean, I would think that they, I don't know, it's so delicate because when accepting these things into canon, they have to think about the future of the film franchise.
Sure.
Like, you would immediately think, well, of course they should rubber stamp the Thrawn trilogy, except that kicks off a whole lot of shit that if they don't want to go that direction in the future films, they can't accept that.
But
they
could
accept pieces of it.
Yeah, you could work around it.
They could bring Thrawn in. They could, you know, they could bring Mara Jade in, which arguably Thrawn and Mara Jade are two characters that everybody says they want to see.
Yeah, but Thrawn, but they can't. They're past Thrawn already.
I don't know. Thrawn is the Darth Maul of a film. You know what I mean? He's kind of that.
Yeah, but they're
throwaway.
They're
villain.
Past. I think they're past. I just think they're past the point of doing Thrawn.
They're past the point of doing the Thrawn that exists in the Zahn novels.
Right.
But they could take the character of Thrawn. This is what I'm saying.
Right.
They could take that character and work that character somehow into
the story.
Right.
I guess
he could be in one of the spinoff films, which could take place whenever.
True.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of possibilities with all of these extra movies and things like that.
We'll just have to see how it all plays out. I just want to know how are they going to issue some sort of report? You know, are they going to say this is canon, this isn't? Is it going to be part of the holocron on StarWars.com?
Could you imagine the enormity of this task? Is
yeah, I know, huge.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's going to take years.
You have books, comic books,
yep,
video games. Mm-hmm. You have what else? Yeah, I mean, is
whatever Shadows of the Empire was.
Well, that was a book. Shadows was a book, wasn't it?
Mm-mm. It was a multimedia event, wasn't it? Where it just had like a soundtrack and a...
Yes, but it was a book. The main story
comic,
was a book, though.
Like
but
that.
Shadows of the Empire, I thought, has already been accepted as part of canon.
I think that was one of the few that has already been accepted as canon. It'll just be interesting to see how they lay it all out.
Absolutely.
Product something?
Yeah. I've got at least one. I've got two things, actually. One
Go.
Thing I just want to mention very quickly, and then
Go.
One thing I have in studio. For those of you who collect the Zombie Fade-In and the Mini Baby Deadbeats from October Toys, the new two released today. So if you go over to OctoberToys.com and you go to the shop and you click on the OTMFG link, you can pick up both of those. They're two shades of blue,
right?
And they're great looking figures. The blue on the Zombie Fade-In looks awesome. Makes the details on that figure really, really pop.
I saw that picture on some website.
Probably, I think we might have reposted it to our Facebook page.
Oh, is that what
it was made? Yes. So there's that. You want to talk about?
Yeah. So a couple of things I picked up this week to check out from Pop, which is. Do you guys know Pop? It's Funko. It's Funko.
Yeah, I have. I've got four or five Pop pieces in my personal collection. I have Arrow.
This is one I know that you want in your personal collection.
That is.
It's R2-D2. There's also an Admiral Ackbar. How did I not get Admiral Ackbar?
I got to tell you. I want that R2-D2 because it's R2-D2.
Right.
And I collect Astromax.
Uh-huh.
But I'm not in love with the Pop version of that.
Why? Because he's kind of square?
Yeah, he's kind of. Something about it just doesn't sit with me.
I like him.
Something about it's not quite right.
You're just a hater.
But I'm not a hater. I have Green Arrow. I have Maul, Vader.
Tell us about Sherlock.
Can't talk about Sherlock.
We can't
yet
talk about that yet.
Just because we cheated doesn't mean everybody else did.
That's true. When do we have to wait 2 weeks?
3 weeks. Well,
no.
Next week we can talk about episode one.
Did it? Is
it
airing
this
Sunday?
Weekend? Uh-huh. This coming weekend.
Oh Jesus,
yeah.
We gotta wait a while.
Yeah.
All right.
And lastly, well, this isn't the last product thing I want to
talk
about.
That is a really awful.
You know what, but look at, well, let's see what this is. This is the DC
New 52. New 52 Suicide Squad Harley Quinn.
Right.
So this is the Harley Quinn in the blue and white, quote, outfit.
Right.
Unquote. She's just come out as part of this line. This is the look that nobody likes, so they changed her again for her own book. This is a figure. It's got all the points of articulation. The price has gone through the goddamn roof.
25?
25 bucks. Yeah. It's outrageous. She comes with two pistols, which fit neatly in the workable holsters that are on her.
Right.
And a giant sledgehammer, which is always a really cool thing for her to have.
I think that the figure that you have in your hand
versus
the photo of the proto are different. I think the head sculpt is different.
I think you're seeing it in bad lighting. They look really
the same. The head sculpt looks really chubby to me. It looks a little short and squat to me for Harley Quinn, who is not... Her face is long. It's always been long.
Well,
even going back to Bruce Timm, her face has not been traditional round.
Based on this book, this Harley Quinn doesn't.
I don't know. I'm not in love. I mean, will I maybe get it? Maybe eventually, if I get it on the
clearance rack like somewhere,
on a second market loose. I'm not paying $25.
No, I won't. No, I won't. I really don't think this is. I don't know. I'm not a fan personally.
Do you know?
I don't like the look, so it's hard to get past that to try to judge the figure.
It just doesn't look like a very good quality piece.
Do we know? Quick question: is there yet another costume change for Harley in Origins? Oh, is Harley even in Origins? Probably not, right? Not Origins. Yeah.
The fuck are you talking?
Is that the Arkham, third
Arkham Origins? Origins?
Is there is Harley in that at all? Probably not.
I haven't played it.
She's too young. I don't think so.
She would, she'd be too young.
Yeah, okay, I thought so. No, because I was going to say, the other Harleys, because I have the Arkham Asylum and the, what was the second?
Arkham Origins is the second one.
City?
Arkham City.
Arkham City is the second one.
That was the one with her with the bat.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have those two versions of Harley. I don't know. I'm not, again, maybe on the second market. Maybe
if you find it loose somewhere at a toy show in 5 years. Yeah, I get that.
You know, I can't imagine spending $25 on that figure.
Thanks. I feel good about myself.
Look, I'm not going to say that I've never spent more money than I should have on shit figures for my collection. I'm just not as big a Harley collector as you.
My
Harley collection is very much more. It's aesthetic. I'm very selective about it.
Right.
It's not like my Green Arrow collection.
For example.
Because there are some shit pieces in that collection.
Oh, yeah, there are.
There are some garbage pieces in that
collection. You know what I noticed? You don't have a... What you call it?
Oh, did you notice? Paper Green Arrow?
I did see that, yeah. You don't have superpowers.
I don't have superpowers.
Gonna keep an eye out for them.
I am working with someone, though. And I don't want to say who just yet.
Okay.
But I am working with someone to get a custom Dark Knight Returns.
Oh, really?
From my personal collection.
Is it somebody that we know?
Yes.
Will you tell me?
Yes.
Will you put the show on hold?
I will tell you after the show.
Oh.
I
want one.
But the last piece that I have here. Oh, wait. Do you want to talk about Sideshow 2? Do you want to talk about them first?
No. You should say the positive thing.
No, but I'm thinking I should end on the positive note.
Oh, okay.
That's a good point.
All right, that's fine.
We like Sideshow, right?
This isn't a question of liking Sideshow. This is a bad move by Sideshow.
Please don't hate us.
So, what is one of the eternal debates?
Sponsored by iFrankenstein.
What is one of the eternal debates about Star Wars: The Empire Strikes Back?
The color of Han's jacket.
The color of Captain Solo's parka.
Right.
Right in the
blue
movie.
Blue in the figure.
Is it blue or is it brown?
Brown in the movie. Correct.
Because it's indistinguishable in the movie. Because some scenes it looks kind of blue and some scenes it looks kind of brown.
Okay.
Which Sideshow, means someone didn't do a good job at lighting.
Well, listen. Well, that's true. But I mean, but it's lit in four different. It's lit in the dark. It's lit in the light. It's lit in the gray. It's
most people when asked that question will say blue.
Blue.
Because the figures have always represented
always been
as
blue. Right. But the purists are like, it's not blue.
Right.
It's brown. So Sideshow.
Can you do that again?
In response to this, they are now, if you're not aware of this, they are now proceeding to do more Hoth pieces.
Right.
So the Tauntaun, the 6-scale Tauntaun is coming out.
Is awesome.
From Sideshow. It's amazing. I really like the old Hasbro one. This one looks way better. Yeah. They have Luke coming out, the Hoth Luke, and the special edition of him, I think, has the beat up head and something.
Bloody faced.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. And I'm guessing, although they haven't said yet, I'm guessing the Wampa is probably not too far away.
I hope he comes with a removable arm.
That would be awesome. But I don't know if that's going to happen. So that said,
yeah.
They've also put out Captain Solo.
Okay.
But rather than doing the logical thing,
which
would be to put out what I think is the most accepted color is blue. Rather than putting out the blue as the single figure, and you know, Sideshow always does the exclusive edition, including the brown coat in the exclusive edition, they put out two separate editions.
So let me ask.
There's a brown coat edition and a blue coat edition of the figure.
Is there any other difference to the figure?
No.
Any difference to that?
Yeah, nothing.
That's an odd choice for that.
That's a dick move.
That's so strange.
That's a dick move.
The only reason I could think that they did that, and I just want to
increase sales. Everybody.
Other than the dick move version of it, right? Because it is a bit of a dick move. The only thing I could think is that maybe they were thinking, and this is a might be a reach, but maybe they were thinking of collectors who keep shit in packaging.
So if they were thinking of collectors,
and that's kind of nice.
Shit, if they were thinking of collectors, what they would have done is made it affordable for collectors. This is $150 at least.
Yeah, but
dollar figure, and purists, not even let's not even call them purists. Let's call them completists.
Right.
Right. Are going to have to buy both. They're not going to drop $300 on this character.
Again, people who keep their stuff packaged may have wanted brown jacket or tan jacket.
You know what?
They could just buy one or the other.
Yeah, they could have did what I said, a special edition that contained both jackets. It's in the packaging.
You know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
The display.
I don't have that big of a problem with this. I
don't think it's a huge
issue. I get it, because if you're a completist and you need every single figure on the line, you're annoyed.
I think most people are going to end up buying the blue one.
Right, but in a different way, you can just say, well, I am a completist. I just choose this one.
Right. That makes you not a completist.
But it sure does.
No, it doesn't.
Sure it does.
No, it doesn't.
In the true sense of believe me. As someone who...
You don't have the disease, son.
Yeah.
That is correct.
Wait, hold on a second. Hold on. I'm going to get them right now. Would you pick one Halo packaging over another Halo packaging?
Absolutely. If they release a Legendary Edition and a Limited Edition, I'm not going to buy both.
But that's different, because that's different content within the confines of the packaging.
Yeah.
This is different.
Yeah, you can't compare this.
I know. I tried to corner him.
Yeah. I know. I truly understand what you're saying, and I get it. If I want every single one, and they're going to release a variant, I have to buy the variant.
Right.
And
the majority.
Totally get it. But the majority from a logical perspective, which is not the same as the completist perspective, and I don't mean that offensively. I mean, they're different looking at it. If I choose to believe that blue is the true color, brown is the true color, well, now I get to... For my entire set, I get to choose which one I want. As a general completist, fuck you, I have to spend another $150 on another figure.
The only thing I'm thinking of is guys who keep their stuff unopened, untouched, maybe... Because, you know, the packaging throws is...
That's what I mean.
Fucking great. Yeah, but if you want brown jacketed Han, you don't want brown jacket on the side, but blue jacket on the figure. You want brown jacket on the figure, right? So,
in fact,
maybe what they could have done... I don't know, maybe they could have released blue. Maybe what they could have done was released blue with the brown jacket, brown with the blue jacket.
Or they could have
released... So that people who aren't completist in the packaging
or the other way
still
to do
get
this,
both outfits.
Or the other way to do this, they could have released like an accessory pack where they put the brown jacket and a bunch
and
of other little...
they're still not on display in the...
And like the welding equipment and like the goggles when he's welding in the hangar. I mean, they could have released a number of different things.
To me, it's bad, but it's not taking a numbered piece and making it a San Diego exclusive bed.
That's fucking bad.
That's bad.
Hasbro fucking did that.
That's
fucking bad.
That's bad. This is not as bad as that.
No, not as bad as that. Okay. It's close though.
All right. Another Sideshow piece, though, that I have for my personal collection.
Yes.
This is the J. Scott Campbell and Sideshow Mary Jane comiquette that was released. Limited to 6,000 pieces. Is that limited?
Only limited to 6,000?
Is that really limited?
No.
But I will say, out of 6,000 pieces, I did get 767. So that's a pretty decent number.
Top grand. That's pretty good.
That's not a bad number.
That is a nice ottoman.
It's a very nice ottoman.
That she's kneeling on?
Yeah.
The ottoman?
That's what I call my floor.
So the first thing I thought... Well, first of all, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
They've really captured his art
J. Scott
perfectly.
Campbell.
Like, there's no way that you look... If you know and are familiar with Campbell's work, there's no way you look at that and say that's anybody but him.
Right.
I mean, there's just...
Yeah, they totally did.
Yeah, they totally nailed it. So that's nice. My first thought was that it was a little bit smaller than I expected. But then I'm, but then she's kneeling, and I'm trying to compare her to that one.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
But even compared to that one, she's still, it's still a smaller.
Which
scale.
Which one, sir?
That is the Adam Hughes.
Yes,
Mary Jane.
The impossible comic-head. Bending.
Yeah.
Adam Hughes one.
But yeah, I mean, it's the detail is really great. It's a great paint job. The base is the base is numbered as well. So the box is numbered, the base is numbered.
So I have a thing for Mary Jane now.
Well, I've always had a thing for Mary Jane.
Is that bad?
Except for when Kirsten Dunst, who looks like a dirty foot with a boil, was cast as Mary Jane. But almost every other version of Mary Jane.
I do not like Kirsten Dunst at all.
No, not at all.
But
now you're going to get a new Mary Jane.
Who's
playing her?
Shailene, the girl that's in Divergence.
That's her?
Yeah, exactly. She doesn't strike me as this either.
Who cares?
No one strikes you as that.
So I posted
Jesus Christ.
So I posted an unboxing video of this when I got it online. And a couple people were like, oh my God.
At our site?
I posted it on our Twitter feed, on Instagram. Oh. I think I put it on the Facebook page too.
We have an Instagram?
Well, I put it on my Instagram. Okay. But a couple people were like, when did Mary Jane become a fox? And it struck me that there are some people who only... Who think Kirsten Dunst? And
can we go back? What do you mean a fox?
Hot.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah, not like
fox is like fox is like what my grandmother says when she's trying to say
foxy lady.
Exactly.
Sexy, hot. But Mary Jane has. Babe. Do you want to see?
Yeah.
Mary Jane has always been. She was a supermodel. You know what I mean? She was a soap opera star. She was.
Sure.
She was always. Far too attractive for nerdy Peter Parker, which made that relationship work that much better.
Right.
In the book, you know, when they used to be married before Joe Quesada took over Marvel. but there are a lot of little details on this statue that I like. I like that the shirt is not simply just fully painted on. Like,
so
you can see the gap.
So we should say, for those of you not checking out the images, she kind of has the top part of Peter's old costume. Draped over herself, and she's kind of pulling it down.
It's actually based on a pretty famous Campbell print that he did of Mary Jane probably 5-6 years ago.
And it has the Ditko webbing on the costume.
On the arms.
Yeah.
But it's nice. If you look at where her back is arched and versus where the costume is, there's actually a little gap there.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's actually almost a separate piece without it being a separate piece. But it's a nice detail. I like that the headline... On the Bugle is a Spider-Man headline. If you look on the other
side. Yeah, all the magazines have.
Yeah, I mean it's a really nice piece. So I opened up the piece, and I looked at it for a while, and I was happy at the fact that I got a low number, and I quickly found a place to display it in the studio.
And then you recovered after wiping up.
And then I went directly to Sideshow, and I ordered Gwen Stacy.
Oh, really?
Immediately ordered Gwen Stacy.
Wow, are you getting all four of them?
Well. I think I will with the flex pay. So what I did was Gwen Stacy comes out.
Pay.
Yes. Gwen Stacy comes out in April. No, in March. So what I did for Gwen was I did it on a 2-payment plan. So I'll make a payment in February, a payment in March, and I'll get Gwen. As soon as I get.
Why don't you spread it out as much as possible?
Because I just ordered it now and it comes out in March. You only have a 2-payment plan option at this point.
Oh, really?
But what I'll do is as soon as I get Gwen, Spidey comes out in May. So I'll flex pay Spidey. So I'll have March, April, May.
Wait, did you order Spidey already?
No.
Oh.
But he's not. None of them are sold out. So can go to Sideshow and get these pieces.
Gwen Stacy, the blonde. Rain?
The blonde in the rain. Yeah.
Ooh, let me see. Do you have a picture?
And they teased the fourth piece in the line, which is Black Cat.
Right.
So Black Cat makes very much sense to me. I understand why they chose Black Cat. Really, really, it's Spider-Man and the three women that he's had relationships with.
Right.
Sort of, right?
Over right.
a large portion of his career, Spider-Man.
Sure.
I really want a villain, though.
Who? Goblin.
There's only 4,000 of these, by the way, Gwen Stacy.
Uh-oh.
It's got to be.
Did you hear that?
4,000. I ordered 4, her already.
How many Spider-Man?
She's secured. I don't know, like... Obviously, people want Campbell's female characters for obvious reasons.
Sure.
But I'm a fan of Campbell in general. The Spider-Man The Spider-Man piece looks awesome.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I'd be happy with Venom. I'd be happy with Goblin.
Like Venom, the super soldier Venom? Or
Yeah. If After the show, I'll show... No. You fucking Flash Thompson Venom. That is not Venom. Eddie Brock is Venom. Anybody else is just an asshole in a symbiote.
an asshole in a symbiote.
Isn't that the plot of Spawn?
Pretty much.
Sort of. So yeah, it's a great piece. I'm really happy that I got it. I'm really happy that I ordered Gwen now. And I'll probably get the rest of the lineup. I can't imagine I won't. So cool. What I think is happening, though, is I'm pretty positive that I will be keeping Mary Jane and Black Cat for my Adam Hughes collection.
Right.
But I think I'm going to sell off the rest. I think I'm going to sell off Black Queen, White Queen.
Oh, Rogue, really?
And Mystique. Wow. So if anybody's interested, let me know.
GeekStuffOG @gmail.com.
I have the boxes for all of them. They're all in really, the statues are all in perfect condition. So
Why don't we give those away as prizes on the show?
You can make it. It's going to be awesome. So the way you enter this contest is with $100 bills.
Yes, that's right. That's right. If you
sending the most $100 bills, yes.
We'll get. That's right.
Couldn't we sell them as part of the Begathon?
We might be able to do it as part of no. No. We're
send $100 bills.
That's right. Send $100 bills. And for every $100 bill over 2.5, I'll put some of it towards the Begathon.
Nice.
So
well done, sir.
We do have an ongoing contest,
by the way.
We do have an ongoing contest, which I was about to re-mention. This, of course, is the Pirate Baby Deadbeat.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Why?
No, I was going to say I'm starting.
It's all right. Keep going.
Feel like the music should be playing.
Oh no, now. The music already started.
Oh, it did.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh. It's low.
You got to check your hearing.
You can hear it. It's low in the mix. You're getting old, and the hearing deaf. Goes first. It happens. We are giving away the Pirate Baby Deadbeat. There are three ways you can enter. In case this wasn't clear last week, you can actually get three entries. If you do all three,
three entries.
Boom. So increase your chances of winning. We did get a bunch of entries via Twitter and Facebook last week. So that is still, it's still going on until next Wednesday. We will make that announcement. So all the rules on how to enter will be in this week and last week's episode post. So please do that. And I think that's it. Yeah. Oh, one other thing I wanted to mention. I'm sorry. PowerCon. For those of you who go to PowerCon every year on the West Coast, this is the TMNT, He-Man, She-Ra, Thundercats.
80s Con.
I love the 80s Con.
Yeah. It is normally a West Coast convention, but it is coming to New York in September. We don't know where yet. It's September 13th and 14th, I think.
We should totally go to that.
Yeah, I really want to go. I've wanted to go, but I just can't get out to the West Coast. Horsemen are there every year. They always have a great release. So so we'll talk about that more as September rolls around.
Sweet!
But I think that's it. Do you guys have anything else?
Yeah.
That
we know? No, nothing I can think of.
So don't forget, you can check us out online each and every week over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com. Of course, there is the GVM line.
425-920-60 and the 50.
Right, so you may hear yourself in a future episode of the show if you call in with questions, comments, and
nine remarks.
Malarkey. You could follow us on the Twitter at GeekStuffOG,
Scapegoat GS,
and at BK GeekStuff.
Now, wait a minute. Now, let's hold on right there. All because right. You're looking askance at me, and I have a special announcement regarding Twitter.
Okay.
I am going to tweet.
Excellent.
Starting at the Oscars.
Okay.
I will be live tweeting the Oscars. Now,
I will teach you how to log in.
I was going
to
say, now, should I do it at, what was the one?
You should do it at BK Geek Stuff.
BK Geek Stuff?
I mean, unless you want to create another one.
No, fuck that.
But BK
Geek Stuff. BK Geek Stuff.
Okay. It already exists. It already has followers.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
So, two things that I have taken a New Year's resolution on is, one, I'm going to be Twittering, but I'm going to start with the Oscars.
Right.
And the second thing will be that I'm going to be posting regularly to the site.
Right.
Possibly as much as once a week.
And third, Little Fifi's Who Stuff, which you heard earlier in the...
That's coming.
Ooh.
That is coming.
Ooh. Don't forget, we also have our Facebook page, facebook.com/BK Geek Stuff, and of course, BK Geek Stuff over at YouTube as well.
We didn't get a chance to talk about Avatar.
We did not. I kind of figured we would talk about it
next
week because there's a bunch of news that happened this week.
This is the tease.
Plus, we have the Tonner stuff
the Tonner,
from your visit last week.
Right. Scapegoat and I visited Tonner last week.
Awesome stuff.
And we have a lot to talk about. And we have an exclusive interview with Robert Tonner.
Lovely. And next week, we will be talking about the first episode of Sherlock.
Even though we've already seen all three?
All three of us in this room have seen it. But some of you may not have because you're good people. so we will be talking about that. And I think that's it, yeah.
I can't believe Sherlock was a life double.
In Tahiti.
To beautiful. It's a magical place.
It is a magical place.
And with that, OG, we will bring this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff to an end. Episode 314, whatever the last thing we called it was.
Canon?
Canon. So the full title is Saved by the Bat Pie Cannon.
That's right. Wow, that sounds like a show I've seen on, like, Discovery. It's like, it comes on right after Punkin Chunkin'.
Punkin' Chunkin' is a real show.
And we will end this episode the way we end all episodes, by saying, good night, May Young, wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.